Few places could have as much in common, yet be so different as Patuxent, Rhode Island, and Thomasville, Georgia. But in the early 1850s, both were bustling with activity. Patuxent was home to several merchant vessels which often spent months on the seas. Thomasville typified the Old South with its sprawling plantations and elegant architecture. If you were traveling south from Patuxent, Thomasville was where the railroad ended. Most of Florida was still undeveloped swampland. The colony of Rhode Island was founded by Englishman Roger Williams, whose nonconformist leanings brought him to America in 1631. Intelligent and opinionated, Williams decided the New World was the perfect canvas on which to paint his political ideology. He openly criticized the Massachusetts Bay Charter, which allowed the confiscation of Native American lands without compensation. He spoke out against the colony's policy toward church and state issues, and by 1635, Massachusetts's officials ordered him back to England. Williams left Massachusetts, but not for England. Instead, he traveled 50 miles to the south, where he befriended and took up residence with local Indians in Rhode Island. 5 years after emigrating from England, he and several of his followers established the settlement of Providence on Narragansett Bay. In this new colony, Williams founded the First Baptist Church in America and arranged for the Indians to be paid for the title to their lands. Rhode Island received a royal charter from England in 1644, becoming a haven for those seeking not merely freedom for their religion, but freedom for all religions. In the tradition of Williams, the seafaring men of Patuxent, Rhode Island, were fiercely independent. Many of their fathers and grandfathers played a unique role in their fight with the British in the American Revolution. The HMS Gaspee had been sent by King George to enforce the Stamp Act, and it harassed unarmed vessels on Narragansett Bay for months until the colonial merchantmen could no longer bear her existence. On June 9, 1772, during an unusually low tide, the Gaspee ordered a small ship to stop as it sailed outside of Patuxent Cove. The lighter draft vessel, the sloop Hannah, defiantly ignored the order and raced towards a sandbar known only to local sailors. Lieutenant William Duddingston took the bait and sailed in pursuit of the insolent Rhode Islanders. As the two ships crossed what is now known as Gaspee Point, the British heard a sudden rumble and scraping sound coming from her keel. She came to a grinding halt on the sandbar, powerless and suddenly very vulnerable. The silence of Narragansett Bay stilled the night as it does to this day, but there was anything but silence on the shore. The word of the king's hated menace being reduced to a small landlocked fort spread from Patuxent to Providence to Newport, and, as in Paul Revere's famed ride 3 years later, local residents armed themselves, some boarding longboats. Before the night was over, the crew of the Gaspee was overpowered and taken prisoner. Duddingston was severely wounded, and as he was rowed ashore, he watched his once mighty vessel burn to the waterline. For Rhode Islanders, the war for independence had begun. Among these freedom fighters was Christopher Sheldon, of whom young James Rhodes Sheldon would be a direct descendant. All involved swore they knew nothing of the attack on the Gaspee when the British investigated. As agreed, those involved took the events of June 9, 1772, to their graves. Free-minded Rhode Island was the first in the 13 original colonies to declare independence from the crown, and the last to ratify the Constitution and join the United States. Today, the bronze independent man stares south to the ocean from atop the marble-domed Rhode Island State House. To the south, directly in his midst, is the sandbar which boaters still avoid during a moon tide. The smallest state of a mere 1,050 square miles, Rhode Island remains a little different.